Today is Mother's Day, a holiday that was officially declared to be a federal holiday way back in 1914. So it's been over 100 years that mothers have been honored on the second Sunday of May. As far as a preacher is concerned, there are a lot of different ways that I could approach this particular Sunday. We could start by talking about statistics, especially Bible statistics, with regard to mothers. I find it interesting that mothers are mentioned 320 times in 292 verses in the Bible itself. Folks, that is a lot of information on moms, isn't it? We turn just to the New Testament, and we find that the word mother is used 93 times in 84 verses. So it is a New Testament topic that is spoken of many times as well. The very first time that the word mother is used has absolutely nothing to do with Eve. You would think that it would, but it doesn't. Remember that God created Eve and He brings her to the man, and God says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Genesis 2, verse 24. There's the first use of the word mother. The first mother was Eve, and she is mentioned in Genesis 3:20 as the mother of all living. The very last instance when the word mother is used is in the book of Revelation 17, verse 5. And I'm not going to talk about that. I'll let you go and look at how the very last time the word mother is used in the Bible. The very last mother that we read about in Scripture is a good woman by the name of Eunice or Eunice. She was the mother of a gospel preacher by the name of Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So we could go into a lot of information about moms from Scripture. Or we could just pick one or two or three Bible mothers, and we could go into a detailed study of those mothers' lives. And there are a bunch of them, and many of them are well known. I've listed just 10 right there. Eve, Sarah, Rebecca, Jochebed. Some of you may not know Jochebed. She's the mother of Moses. We have Ruth, Hannah, Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. We also have three New Testament moms: Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist; Mary, the mother of Jesus; and then lastly, Eunice, or Eunice, the mother of Timothy. But that's not the way that I'm going to approach the study of Mother's Day this morning. The title of our lesson, very simply, is this: a head-to-toe assessment of a mother. Now, that term, head-to-toe assessment, folks, that is a medical term. We're involved in a medical assessment. I'm taking a risk here because Kathleen's a nurse and she knows how to do one of these things. And if I mess up, I'm in trouble when I get home. Okay? But a head-to-toe assessment involves a systematic collection of data about an individual's human body by sight, by sound, by touch, and the purpose of it is in order to detect any problems that an individual might have. You think, oh, he's going to turn this into a negative sermon. We're going to do a head-to-toe assessment of a mom in order to find out all of her troubles. No, that's not why we're doing it, folks. We're going to do a head-to-toe assessment of a mom in order to show the value of a mother. Let's start with point number one: a mother's heart. We talk about the heart, we're talking about the control center of an individual. It is the place where an individual thinks. It is the place where an individual reasons. It is that place where an individual makes decisions and purposes. It is the place where you and I begin to experience all of our emotions. The Bible says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 23, verse 7. When I think of a mother, there are many things that I could talk about with regard to a mother's heart, aren't there? But there's two things that I know that a good mother's heart is filled with. Number one, it is filled with love for her children. And what's interesting is those children do not have to be little bitty babies. They don't have to be little toddlers. They certainly do not have to be teenagers. But a mother's heart loves her children even after those children have gone away from home, and she may not even speak to them, but maybe once or twice a year, there is still a deep love for a mother on a part of her children. But notice also, a mother's heart is filled with compassion. A mother is an individual who knows how to suffer with her little children, doesn't she? A child gets hurt in front of her mother, and what does mom do? Mom almost cries with the little child. Mom grabs that little child and sympathizes, oohs and ahs with her, and patches her up and tries to make her feel wonderful. And let that same child fall before dad. Get up, boy. You ain't hurt. You see, there's a difference between a mom and a dad. We have a beautiful example of a mother's love and a mother's compassion in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 26. Solomon had been asked by God, "What do you want me to give you?" Solomon prayed for one thing. He prayed for wisdom. And God granted Solomon that wisdom. And I find that the very first test of Solomon's wisdom involved two mothers, didn't it? One mother had been sleeping with her child, and during the course of that sleep, she rolled over on that baby and she had killed her own child. And she went and she stole the child of another mother and declared that that child was hers. Now there was a war between these two women. No, the child is mine. No, the child is mine. Back and forth they went, and so what did they do? They approached Solomon, the wisest man upon the earth, in order to make the decision for them. We all know Solomon's decision, don't we? He called for a sword. A sword was brought, and he was going to slice that child in half and give one half to one woman and one half unto another. And the Bible says, "And the woman whose the child was spake unto the king." Now watch this. "Because her heart yearned for her son. And she said, Oh my Lord, give the living child to her, and in no wise slay the child." Wow. Solomon immediately knew that this was the mother of the child, didn't he? Why? Because two things are experienced. Number one, he sees the deep love for this woman, a love so great that she is willing to give that child to another individual if that will spare the life of the child. He also saw the compassion of that woman, did he not? Her heart yearned for her son. Don't kill the child. Don't do anything to him. Don't hurt him at all. Great compassion on the part of a mother. You see, a mother's heart is filled with love and compassion. As we continue our examination, we come to the next element of a woman, a mother's eyes. Folks, a mother's eyes is always watching, aren't they? She is what we might refer to as vigilant. She looks for enemies. She looks for dangers. She looks for activities in which her children are engaged that are dangerous or that might bring them harm. In fact, there are some children who have said that my mother has eyes in the back of her head. In fact, sometimes you think her head just one big eyeball because she can see everything, can't she? You think you're hidden. You think you're okay. And guess what? The next thing you know, Mom knows. And you say, how do you know? And she says, I saw you. You see, mothers are always watching, aren't they? She wants no harm whatsoever to come to her children. Now, a while ago, I made the statement that it doesn't matter how old a child is, whether it's a little toddler or whether it's an adult child, a mother is deeply concerned about her children. And we see an example of that when it comes to Bathsheba and her son Solomon. David was growing old in his reign as king of Israel. And one of his sons by the name of Adonijah rose up and attempted to usurp the throne from his father. And yet it had been declared that Solomon would be the next king. So immediately, what does Bathsheba do? She goes in to the king's quarters in order to make a plea on behalf of her son. And she said unto the king, O my Lord, thou hast sworn by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, thy son Solomon shall reign after me and shall sit upon my throne. And now Adonijah reigneth. And now, my Lord, thou knowest not. Folks, here is a mother who is deeply concerned about her son's position, isn't he? This position is my son's. The king has sworn that my son will have the position of king. And now Adonijah has usurped the throne. And what does she do? She goes in and protects her son. Some say that women are mama bears when it comes to protecting their children. That day, Solomon was placed upon David's horse. He was given the rule of the kingdom, and Adonijah was put down in total defeat. Why? Because of a mother's seeing what was going on and intervening on behalf of her children. Notice next, a mother's mouth. A mother's mouth contains wisdom and instruction. Folks, a mom knows why she's there, doesn't she? If there's anybody who is going to talk to their children, it's a good mom. Now, sometimes kids think that she talks too much, don't they? But you see, a mother knows exactly what I'm supposed to do. She understands her role. These children are mine. They are God's gift to me, and it is my responsibility to train them, to nurture them, to bring them up as God desires for them to be brought up. I love a passage found in Proverbs 31, verse 26. The text says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. I don't know about you, but it's always a pleasure pick up the phone and call my mom, and she answers. I just love that. Oh, hey, Vic, what are you doing? You see, you know a mother's mouth, don't you? You know her words. She's been there for you. She's comforted you. She's instructed you. She's talked to you. She's advised you. Folks, that is the purpose of a good mother. But as we continue, we find that this individual by the name of Eunice taught her son, didn't she? We may mention she's the last mother in Scripture. And here's this son that rises up to become a gospel preacher, one who is well favored in his community. Folks, it didn't happen by accident. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. You see, Eunice understood, I have this son, and I must train him. I must instill faith in him. And aren't you glad she did? Two books of the New Testament bear his name because a mother did what she was supposed to do. Now, here's what's interesting about Timothy. His mother had married a Greek, a Gentile. He wasn't a believer in God. We don't read about his influence as far as a godly influence in the life of Timothy. And yet, here is a mother who overcame that deficiency and still brought wisdom to her child. A mother's mouth is a beautiful thing. Notice next, a mother's breast. Now, we're not supposed to talk about this in our kind of a society today, are we? But folks, what's interesting is that the very first nourishment that most children receive is from their mother's breast, is it not? We've been studying the book of 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 22, Hannah has a child by the name of Samuel. And she tells Elkanah, her husband, that I will not go up to the feast until I have weaned my child. Here's a woman who understood, I've got to take my responsibility, my motherly responsibility seriously. And I've got to feed this child and care for this child, and we will not go up until such time that I can remove him from my breast through feeding. But you know what's interesting is that even after a mother ceases to breastfeed, she continues to provide nourishment for her children, doesn't she? Again, we go to Proverbs 31 and the virtuous woman, verse 15. She riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. I had a mom just like that. My mom was up every day, 5:30 in the morning. Before it was day, folks, mama was up. She'd get up and she'd fix my dad breakfast. And off he went to work, about 10 till 7. She came out about 20 till 7 and she says, kids, you got to get up. We'd sleep till about 7. We'd go into the dining room and there was food right there on the table every time. Three kids, three meals right there. Each one of us liked our eggs differently and she prepared them just the way we liked them. Fried eggs, scrambled eggs, and a white egg for my sister. Guess she is concerned about her weight or something. My mother left about 20 after to go to work at 8, be at work at 8 o'clock. And when we would leave about a quarter till 8 to get to school, guess what was sitting on the counter? A lunch she had made as well. Eat my lunch, think about my mom. What mom put in this thing today? Oh! A bologna sandwich or a boiled egg, and that was even worse. Bev said it was good for us. Then my mom would come home at night. She'd get home about 5 o'clock. Folks, by 5:30, 5:45, guess what? A good hot meal was sitting right there on that table for every one of us. You see, moms take their job seriously. Now, I realize we're starting to change that in society, aren't we? Today we have what is known as brought-on food. That's what my dad calls store-bought stuff. Run to Chick-fil-A, Burger King, bring it home, order a pizza, whatever it is. Folks, there's many moms, and we've been a part of that, who took care of us well, didn't they? Fed us good. Made certain that all of our needs were taken care of. You see, a mother's breast is of vital importance to a child. Notice next, a mother's arms. Sometimes children get a little bit scared, don't they? It could be a bug in the yard. It could be a thunderstorm. It could be a mean kid down the block. It could be a scary movie, whatever it might be, folks. And guess what a child does? The very moment they get scared, the very moment they feel those big fears come upon them, zoom, off they go. And where do they go? Into their mother's arms. Why? Because they know there's safety, protection, and comfort there. We go back again to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 17. Notice what the text says. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. How many times have mothers taken their little children and just held them as tightly as they could hold them, to let that child know that everything is going to be okay. A mother's arms. But attached to those arms are what we refer to as a mother's hands. Folks, a mother's hands are constantly busy at work, are they not? There's that old adage that says this, a man works from what? Rising till setting sun, but a mother's work is never done. Old boy comes home from work, sits himself down in the lounger while mama's cooking. He goes to the table and eats. He comes back to his lounger while mama's vacuuming. He decides he might get a shower while mom is preparing food for tomorrow. And finally, they both go to bed together, maybe. Again, we go to the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. Just look at some of the passages that talk about her hands. She worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 13. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. Verse 19. Notice this next passage. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Uh-oh. That's not good, is it? We'll stop that. Now then, we're ready. Folks, but a mother's hands are always laboring. They're always busy. They're always doing something, aren't they? Let's turn now to another point. A mother's lap. There are times when children are prone to get hurt, aren't they? Let a child go outside and it's not very long till guess what? Something is going to happen. We have a mother across the street from us and she has two little beady ones. One day they came out and she was pushing the little one in a stroller and the other one had her little scooter and she hadn't gotten 50 feet down the road and guess what? That kid had fallen off that scooter, busted her knee wide open, just crying and boo-hooing. Guess what? Guess who grabs her? Mom picks her up, grabs scooter, and still pushing the kid. I don't know how she does it. She had four arms that day. But you see, a mother, when that child is hurt, that's exactly what she wants, isn't it? It's in the lap of their mother that they know they're going to find comfort. It's in the lap of a mother that they know that mother is going to stop and take the time to do whatever is necessary in order to dress that wound and make certain that everything is okay, oftentimes ending with a kiss on that hurt, doesn't it? You see, mothers have a beautiful lap. There's two verses that are interesting. They don't really refer to a lap, but they do refer to the comfort of a mother. God in Isaiah 66 and verse 13 says this, as one whom his mother comforteth. He's talking about himself and what he's going to do for Israel. But isn't it interesting that he uses a mother as the place where that comfort comes from? Folks, God understood that it's a mother who sympathizes. It's a mother who cries. It's a mother who grieves. It's a mother who deeply cares when her children are hurt. And he says, I'm going to comfort you as a mother comforts her children. The Apostle Paul understood a mother's comfort and he talked about it in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 7. We talked about it in our discussion. He's talking about himself as a preacher of the gospel. Notice what he says. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. When you look up that little word nurse, it means this, a nursing mother. A nursing mother. He said we were so gentle, just like a mother is, with a child among you. You see, Paul must have grown up with a good mom. A mother who trained him, a mother who reared him. And we know that she must have because he was stalwart in the Jewish faith, was he not? He was a man who grew up to be an individual who was a rabbi among the rabbis, one who had access even to the high priest. Why? Because of a mother who cared for him deeply. How about this one? A mother's feet. Again, a mother is always busy, isn't she? Folks, moms have little time to sit down and to rest. Again, we go to Proverbs 31, and I am amazed at this woman. I refer to her as Supermom. Because when you go and you read that particular chapter about that woman, folks, by the time you finish it, you're tired as you can be. And you wonder, how in the world can a woman do such stuff? You see, here's what he says. She seeketh wool and flax. Verse 13, verse 14. She bringeth her food from afar. We go to verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. Notice that I didn't put the rest of that verse on there. It also says that in that field she plants a vineyard. I don't know about you, that's work, isn't it? The Bible also says in verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She delivereth her girdles unto the merchant. Verse 24. Folks, this lady is constantly doing something. She's constantly busy. And isn't that the way with moms? Off to school, off to Publix, off to Walmart, back to school, off to the bank, off to the ball field, soccer here, baseball there, football on another field. Take it to this friend's house. Got to go to this little party, that little party. Folks, moms are constantly on the run. That's the reason they have SUVs or vans? Because they're always busy doing something. Wow. I don't know about you, but I had a mother that was a fantastic mom. She's not very big, 5'2". She was a good mom. And folks, most of you, just talking about the things that we've talked about in this lesson, you can vouch that you had a mom that was the same way. In fact, many of you in this audience today are mothers that are just like that, aren't you? You got great hearts. You watch your children with those eyes. You're constantly instructing out of your mouth with wisdom. You have strong arms and busy hands. You have a lap that will comfort your children and feet that are always doing for someone else. There's moms right in this audience that do that. Notice this. Often their efforts are hard, long. Many times they go unnoticed, don't they? And a lot of times they are very little appreciated. What we want to do is we want to stop today and we want you to know that we appreciate you. And we thank you for what you've done. And as we come to the conclusion, I want to read some statements that have been made about moms. Wonderful statements. True statements. This is one. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. In fact, did you know that's an entire poem written by William Ross Wallace? Beautiful poem. Folks, moms sometimes forget the power and the authority that they have in their hands, taking care of their children. Another statement. Men are what their mothers made them. Ralph Waldo Emerson. I love this next one. Our mothers put God first when they feel their highest mission within the walls of their home. That was a statement made by Ezra Taft Benson. You see, folks, Satan has done everything he can do to get our women out of the home. And it is God who put women in the home because he knew the power and the influence that they have on little children. We all are familiar with Abraham Lincoln, aren't we? All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mom. Love that quote. And there's one more. And folks, I hope this one sticks in your mind. It's not very long, very brief. But I hope you remember it as you leave today. And it's very simply this. The world needs our mothers. Folks, we need you. We don't need mothers to stand by the wayside. We don't need moms to neglect their responsibilities. We don't need moms that will give their responsibilities to other people. We need mothers in our world today. And we're thankful for all of you that are here. I find it interesting that guess who created moms? God did, didn't He? That in and of itself tells me how much they are needed. For you see, it's the God of wisdom who put a mother in the home to take care of those little children, to do things that dads just cannot do. Again, we thank you. As a mother, though, one of the best things you could ever do for your children is to teach them the way Eunice taught Timothy. My friend, if you are a believer in the Christ, the Son of the living God, you take that faith and you make certain you pass that faith on to that little child. You make certain that that child understands that they stand in need of the salvation which is in Christ. We live in an evil, ungodly world, and all of us fall short through sin of the glory of God. And we stand in need of salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And for some individuals, the only place they'll ever be taught that is in a home by a mother. You teach that to your child. You teach them what they need to do to become a Christian. Have faith in the Christ. To repent of those sins. Confess the sweet name of Jesus. And to be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. And then you teach them and you show them through your life what it means to be faithful even unto death. Revelation 2 verse 10. Children, are there some of you in this audience who know what you need to do? You've watched your mom. You've seen her. She's lived the Christian life that needs to be lived. Do you need to do that today? We beg with you and plead with you to do it. The water's ready. We can help you if you so desire. Maybe there's someone here who is in sin and who needs to repent of that and confess it and ask God to forgive them. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?